going to talk a little bit this morning about a project we've got using pyrolysis char, land application of pyrolysis char, and its effect on corn and the soil chemistry and the carbon status of the soil. So I'd like to thank my co-authors, Adam Speer and Keith Harris, and Dr. Dewey Lee, who's our grain specialist, and Larry Morris, and Casey Doss. There we go. Okay, so this study has been conducted in Georgia, southeast United States, where the little star is. And in particular, down here in South Georgia, which is in the coastal plain physiographic region, down in Tifton, which is our major agricultural area. You can see that Georgia is a large state. We've got a lot of agricultural land. We've got a lot of pine land. And as many people are, we are looking at ways to use both agricultural and forest resources for biofuel production. Our climate there is hot and subtropical, and in many years it's supposed to be fairly moist, but we've been in a two-year drought, and people are starting to blame that on me. Anytime I put a field study in, then we get drought. So this is our normal precipitation, and you'll see in a minute that we're quite below that. Our soils are ultisol, so they're in the Tifton area, typically loamy sands, very low fertility, very low cation exchange capacity, organic matter content usually less than 1 and sometimes around less than 5. So the other thing we're interested in is things that we can do to improve the productivity of our soils. So, since we have a lot of pine trees and pulp and paper industry has gone offshore, one of the things that we're very interested in is, can we use this forest resource for biofuel production? Oh. Okay, let's back up. Will it go back? Okay, so we have this biorefinery and carbon cycling initiative. And one of you can look at using forest products for cellulosic ethanol, but that's an extremely difficult process that the engineers say is out way in the future. So what we're looking at is pyrolysis, which is thermochemical conversion of the biomass in a low oxygen condition. And what I'm going to be talking about, when you do pyrolyze biomass, you get hydrogen that can go to Fischer-Tropsch diesel. You also get bio-oil that the engineers are looking at making a number of things out of. What I'm looking at in particular is the char byproduct, and can we use it back in agriculture to enhance productivity and perhaps to sequester carbon. Okay. So, if you look at the literature, there's a number of effects of charcoal in soils, including increasing water holding capacity, increasing pH, adding cations, increasing cation exchange capacity. There's research out there that show increased microbial activity and increased mycorrhizal colonization. And many of these studies report increased crop yields. So we wanted to see, would we see similar effects that people have reported with charcoal addition or high charcoal soils with this pyrolysis char in our very low organic matter soils down in the coastal plain of Georgia. And we looked at corn. Because we could not get large quantities of this biochar produced, we used these little replicated microplots. We use two different types of char that I'll talk a little bit about their characteristics in a minute. It was all produced at about 400 degrees C with steam in the production process and no pressure there. That was atmospheric pressure. We have a control plots where we added no fertilizer or no char. We have fertilizer check where we managed it with typical nitrogen rates for corn, and then char at two different rates, and char at those two different rates plus the nitrogen fertilizer. So here's the characteristics of our two different chars. And you can see the peanut hull char, where's my, there it is, has quite a bit of total nitrogen in it and quite a bit of potassium and a fairly low carbon to nitrogen ratio, where compared to the pine chip char, very low nitrogen, low nutrients in general, and a very high carbon to nitrogen ratio, which you would expect. So if you look at our loading rates, 11 megagrams per hectare and double that, and looked at the total nitrogen we were applying on the corn, that would be, if that nitrogen was available, that would be close to what our fertilizer rates would be. And down here at this double, the 11 megagrams at 22, this potash requirement is close to what you would need in a low potash soil test K soil. We hand applied the char in March of 2006. It was raked in and then rototilled into 15 centimeters and planted the corn. Harvested last August, put an annual rye cover crop out last winter, and then replanted the corn and harvested it again this fall. We looked at total biomass and the grain yield. We looked at corn nutrient status at R1. We looked at several different soil fertility measurements, and this initial pass at the data was conducted using ANOVA with a Toothy Kramer's mean separation. So, to get to the bottom line, especially if you're a farmer, what's the effect on yield? Well, we did have a significant effect of fertilizer, thank God, for the past 2 years. We didn't see that. We would have a real problem on our hands, right? But we did not see any significant effect of the char addition on grain yield compared to the fertilizer check in either year. You'll see that in the peanut hull char, which we did have a fair amount of total nitrogen out there, you can see all the plots that were fertilized had similar yields. In the first year, in 2006, at the higher rate, we did have a little bit of a yield boost compared to our control, where we weren't adding anything. That could have been to the extra potassium and phosphorus and such in there. But by year two, you can see we had yield reduction all the way around, and there was no difference, just a difference with a fertilizer effect. And that's true in both years with the pine chip char. Now, this was irrigated corn, but we have had in the past 18 months equivalent to what we normally get in a year. So we're in a huge moisture deficit, especially in the subsoil. And this summer, with the high temperatures we had, the irrigation couldn't possibly keep up with the water demand. So I think our yield reduction in 2007 is really due to a water effect, though it could be somewhat due to the fact that corn was following corn. If we look at soil nitrogen in 2006, we saw no statistical difference in total nitrogen, nitrate, or ammonia with the peanut hull char, and no differences with a pine chip char. You can see in the graph that there was kind of a trend for higher total nitrogen where we added the char, but we had really huge variability there, so it overwhelmed the statistics. In 2007, there was a significant effect of the char addition with the 22 and 11 megagram per hectare application rates being significantly different from zero, but not from each other. We did not see any significant effect of fertilizer, and there was really nothing with the pine chip char addition. So what is going on here? Basically, We've added a lot of total nitrogen with that peanut hull char. It seems to be not very plant available, and I'll show you some other corn tissue data in just a moment to support that. And there's a pretty high correlation with the peanut hull char with total carbon in the soil. But we are not seeing that in the corn. So if you look at, again, at these graphs, where here is the fertilizer check, where we've added the char addition, it's staying right at the sufficiency level at R1, and very deficient where no nitrogen fertilizer was added for both the peanut hull char and the pine chip char. If we look at malic 1 potassium, again, we saw a significant effect at the 0 to 15 centimeter depth, and all the rates were different from each other. So here's the fertilizer check, and here's our control. Here's 22 with fertilizer and without, and then here's the 11 with and without, and you can see that those in the first year, that potassium, available potassium, mirrored the amount of char that we added to our plots. We didn't see a fertilizer effect in the first year, and again, you can just say it with me, pine chip char, no effect. but by the second year, with the peanut hull char, it's kind of interesting. Where we have added fertilizer and got a pretty high biomass, that available potassium that was supplied by the char appears to be depleted. Whereas where we didn't get a significant biomass removal, we can still see some of that in the surface soil. And I do think that's related to biomass removal, though it could be a combination of biomass removal and whatever would be leached out. If you look at the corn nutrient status, again, in 2006, we did see that extra potassium reflected in the corn tissue for this highest char application rate. In 2007, we no longer saw that there was a significant effect of fertilizer, with the unfertilized plots having higher means than the fertilized plots. If we look at the effect on soil carbon, and what I'm showing you here is we took our initial soil data from these plots, and then in this last harvest in 2007, we subtracted for each plot the initial to look at the sort of net change in carbon for the past 2 years. And there was a significant effect, is what you would expect, with both the peanut hull char and the pine chip char. These lines that I have here, this is where if you added the 22 megagrams per hectare, this is the amount of carbon we would expect to see in the soil from that addition. And this is for the 11 megagrams per hectare. And it appears that we may have some carbon decreasing with the pine chip char, which is a surprise to me. If we were going to have carbon mineralizing, I would have thought we would have seen it in the peanut hull char. Right now, the data doesn't show that, but again, we have a lot of variability in that data. And it was interesting this fall when we took the soil samples, you can almost find little pockets of the char in the soil, like it's aggregating. And I don't know if that was due to an incomplete incorporation with the rototilling. I suspect it really has more to do with the fire ants out there, where I think that they're actually moving this stuff around and they may be concentrating it in pockets, but I have no data to support that observation. So So basically, if you look at this study in the context of some of the other studies out there, there's been a lot of work done, especially in the tropics, showing increased yields with charcoal addition. Many of those studies are charcoal from where they're making charcoal for fuel. There's a mix of feedstocks. It's not a well-regulated process. I think we don't really have a good understanding between the differences of how pyrolysis char and that more industrial process, how the formation of that and soil effects. We aren't seeing at this point any difference in yield. So we're not seeing an increase in yield, but we're not seeing a decrease in yield either. So with especially something like the pine chip char, where we're adding very high carbon to nitrogen ratio material to the soil, you might expect to see nitrogen immobilization. So far, I don't have any data to support that either. And that would be a good thing in terms of using the char for carbon sequestration. But from a farmer's point of view, there's not much of a incentive to use it unless they could get some sort of carbon credit. The char feedstock has a huge effect on the nutrients you might add, and that can make a big difference. And we especially saw that with the potassium, though we're seeing similar results with magnesium. And on a very short-term basis, the carbon that we've added appears to be staying around. But we really do need a much better understanding of how this material will function in different soil types and with different cropping systems. So I hope I'm right on time. And I'd like to thank the folks that have supported this work, and Lee Ogden, who's in the back, and Robert Pippin, who did all the farm management, and can't do it without them. So any questions? No fertilizer. We had both.
So you had one that was deemed an agronomic grade fertilizer?
Yes. So we had a fertilizer check with no char, and then we had the control plots with nothing.
Right. And so with your plot, which was nothing but didn't see the agronomic grade of fertilizer, was that same grade of fertilizer applied then to the two different dashes?
Yes. Yes. So what you had was the fertilizer check, and then you had the char plus nitrogen fertilizer.
The same amount of nitrogen.
Yes.
So my question would be then, with your pine chips, which had a ratio of 487, you didn't see any yield differences despite the fact that you're applying the same rate as your agronomic rate.
Right. I think that the stuff is just not, it's very recalcitrant. So you're not having a lot of, there's not a lot of available carbon in the char for the microbes to work with. So it's just fairly, it's going to decompose, but it may decompose over a very, very slowly over a very long period of time, and then you're not having that nitrogen demand. So I don't know. I had hoped that there would be some sorption there also, and maybe it would hang on to the nitrogen longer. I don't have a good answer for that yet either.
Based on that, you'd think that then your second year, your yields would start to represent a little bit of that release of carbon. It might be worth it. I don't know. It might be worth looking at some nice little irrigation trials.
We've done some respiration work with it, and the peanut hull char You do usually see higher respiration rates with it compared to non-amended soils, but not tremendous. And remember, sorry, Richard, but it's just sorry dirt down there. I mean, that's what they call it, sorry dirt. It's very sandy, very low natural. I mean, this is 0.4% organic matter in that soil. And when we started running these respiration trials, the variability was so high and the late rates were so low, I thought we were doing something wrong. So I pulled some garden soil of mine in and it went through the roof. And so it really has to do with that very sandy, very low organic matter soil. And it would be nice to look at this over a longer period of time, especially incorporating it with conservation tillage systems, where we can start to really rebuild some of the soil organic matter and see if we got better responses.
Here's another control question.
Trace elements. I did look at things like cadmium and mercury. They're low. They're pretty low. I didn't present that here. Depending on your feedstock, I think that you could potentially have some concerns with that.
Sorry to say
okay.
We don't have
yeah. All right.
Thank you very much.